Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we'd love to say we don't have any confidence in the flesh, but we're afraid that we do have too much confidence in the flesh. Dear Lord, we know that the flesh profits nothing and can do nothing. That your Spirit alone is the agent of power, of illumination, of quickening. Lord, we come to you. We have your word before us. We have our Bibles in our laps. We come to sit underneath your own divine, inspired, authoritative word, knowing that what you say, it is truth. It doesn't matter how we feel about it or how we respond to it, it remains true. It was true before we was born, and it'll be true after we're dead and gone. Lord, we want to submit our lives to you and to your word. We want to hear your word, and we want to listen to it. We know your word is bread and life to us. We cannot live without it. Lord, here we are. We're a flock of sheep that's come to the trough. We've come to look for food. We've come to minister upon your word. We need substance. We need feeding. Lord, would you, as a good shepherd who has sheep that you promised to tend to and care for, would you, as a good shepherd, not feed your flock? Would you turn us away empty-handed? Lord, is there not bread for us today? Is there not something for us to eat upon and nourish our life upon? Lord, the world is always constantly trying to tempt us away from the things of God. Lord, we feed upon the world too much. We watch too much TV. We are carried away with too much of our own carnal pursuits. We get distracted with this concern, that concern, dear God, and our minds get drifting away. Lord, we need real food. The food of this world is just not sustaining. It leaves us hungry. It looks pleasant. It seems like it'll taste good. But, dear Lord, it makes us, Lord, discontent. We need the living word. We need true food. We need the food that comes only from you. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to understand it and to hear and to listen. Give us ears to hear, dear God. And give me, your servant, a mouth to speak. This I pray in your Son's name. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Jesus gave a parable of a man named Lazarus and a rich man. And every day Lazarus was poor, and he was at the gate of the rich man, and he begged for his food. The rich man had plenty to eat, more than enough. But the day comes that comes for all of us, the day of death, the day that we're all equal. And during that time, the rich man went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man went into hell, and Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man began to complain and ask Abraham for help because he's got brothers that doesn't know the Lord. And Abraham said to the rich man, essentially this: while you lived, you had your portion. And now, Lazarus has his. You see, There is a reversal. Those who are rich will become poor, and those who are poor will become rich. Those who are first will become last. Those who are last will become first. But let me ask you this question for you to think about, especially if you're lost. And even if you're a Christian, sometimes you begin, if you're like me, you become discontent sometimes. And you wish you just had a little bit more. Just a little bit more money. Just a little better job. Just a little more health. Just a little better situation. And so I'm speaking to you who want more of this life, more in this life. But I'm going to primarily speak to the unconverted. And I want to ask you this question. Would you rather be the rich man or would you rather be Lazarus? Would you rather be poor, broke, and a beggar and go to heaven? Or would you rather be filthy rich and go to hell? What would you prefer? Do you want your portion now? Do you want what you can get now? Or do you want portion later? Do you want hope for this life or do you want hope for the next life? That's the question. Now or later? You want to be patient and wait or do you want to be impatient and go ahead and get your fun now? You have a choice. You can either try to gain this world and you may even get it. You probably won't get all of it, but you may even get more than you think you'll get. And you could get much of this world. Maybe you want fame. Maybe you want wealth. Maybe you want power. Maybe you want success. But let's say you can have what you want. You can get it. You can get the trophy wife. You can get the nice vehicles. You can get what your hearts long for. And you can be the envy of the world. You can have that. But on this one condition, you're going to lose your soul. You won't have nothing after this life is over. You can have your best life now. And that can be given to you. Do you want it? Do you take your lot now? Do you take your portion now? Do you want your inheritance now? Are you willing to wait on something better? Are you willing to wait upon glory, heaven? You see, here we see in this text the patience of hope, starting in verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is someone who has hope for the next life. And because of this great hope, he waits patiently for the inheritance. Because that's what he's longing for. That's what he's looking for. That's his hope. So he waits patiently. But sadly, before we look at those who wait patiently, let's look and think about those who cannot wait. Those who want their portion now. And that might be you. I want mine now because you don't know how to wait. You don't want to wait. Waiting is no fun. Patience is no fun. Give it to me now. I want my inheritance now. Now, I want my joy now. I want my pleasure now. And that's an epidemic in the world we live in. In fact, impatience is kind of the mark of a sinful nature. It's the initiative in us. It's the desire in us to swipe the credit card. Swipe the credit card. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. We don't want to wait. We're on a on-demand society. I don't like waiting. It needs to be fast and it needs to be here now. Because I don't have time to wait. Patience is not what I'm good at. You ask a kid what he wants. One candy bar today or five tomorrow. Wisdom would have him wait. Be patient. Five is greater than one. It's worth waiting. But a kid can't think about tomorrow. He doesn't know how to think about tomorrow. All he's thinking about is belly's growling now. He's thinking about how enjoyable it would be to eat the candy bar now. I dealt with a lady who that I would give her. I budgeted her money for her, helped her with her money, and she got an allowance. And she came to me asking for an allowance early, and I told her, no, you have to wait to the proper time. Patience, this is what we're trying to teach you, to be patient, to budget and to take it and wait. And what she wanted to go next door and buy herself a Slurpee. A $3 Slurpee is what she wanted. But she didn't have any money because once she got money, she spent it as fast as she got it. And so I said, no, you just wait till tomorrow. And she got around $40 a week. And I said, $40, you have it tomorrow and you can get your Slurpee tomorrow. She goes, no, I want it now. I said, well, would you rather me give you, your $5 today and tomorrow I'll give you $20? So you're missing out on the full amount? She goes, yeah, I'll take the $5 today. I said, well, we're about $5 a day and only $5 tomorrow. She goes, yeah, I'll take my $5 today. I said, what about just $5 a day and nothing tomorrow? She goes, okay, I'll take my $5 today. I was astonished by the impatience of this lady. She saw it, she wanted it, she had to have it. And that's the way we can be too. We don't know how to wait anymore on things. We want it now. And we all have a bucket list. Or am I the only one that has a bucket list? And I mean, I want to fix up the man cave and I want to do this to it. I want to do that to it. But there's this problem of waiting, budgeting. It's hard to wait. But option one, to go ahead and get your life now, to get this world now, this is the benefit of getting that option. Option number one is you don't have to wait. There's no waiting involved. So this is the benefit of getting the world. You can go at it and have at it now. Take it. It's yours. Don't wait. Go have it. Go do it. Don't wait on marriage. Just go ahead and have fun now. Don't wait on when you can pay for it. Go ahead and put it on the credit card now. Live for now. And that's the model of the world. In fact, that's the model of Pepsi. Live for now. They say that. Live for now. And I hate that model because it's the model of the world. Live for now. Give it to me now. I want it now. There's no discipline, no self-control, and just living for your felt needs. I mean, a lot of people, that's the way they live. They live like a newly formed stream. Think about a stream that hasn't rained in a long time, and here comes the waters, and the waters collect into the low spots, and the water wants to travel somewhere. And where does the water want to travel? What direction? The water's not thinking, well, that's where I want to go. It's uphill. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be towering. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot of studying, a lot of discipline, a lot of self-control, but I'm going to do it because I want it bad. No. Water always takes the path of least resistance. And so many people live with no purpose, just like a dog, going from one desire to the next desire, not thinking about tomorrow. Just trying to get through the day, enjoying the day. And that's the way the people of this world live. And even the smartest ones of the world, they do think about tomorrow, but the farthest they can think about is retirement. And that's where it ends for them. They can't think beyond this life. This life is all that they can think about. It's all that they have. This is their hope. All their hope is put into this particular life. And I want to ask you this. Is this your hope? Is this life your hope? Are you putting your investments and all your treasures in this life? Is this what you're living for? Then you don't have to wait. You can have it now. You can have it now. You don't have to wait, nor you have to have any patience or self-control. But there's a consequence to this. If that's what you live for, this world, you may even get this world. You may have what you want. The problem is you probably won't even get much of this world. You know, whatever you're living for, that's what you're exchanging your soul for. You're exchanging your soul for that. If you're living for this world, then you're saying this world is worth my soul. It's a good exchange. I'll trade my soul for this world. It's temporary, it's short-lived, the pleasures comes and goes, but it's worth it. I'll give my eternal soul for a moment of pleasure, a moment of fun, a moment of excitement, because that's what I want. I want this life. And there's no self-control, there's no discipline in it, but you're selling your soul for these things. But the problem is, most of us are selling our souls, if we don't know the Lord, we're selling our souls for very little of this world. Very few of us are going to be filthy rich. Very few of us are going to have the Lamborghinis and the Porsches and the nice homes and cars. And you know, you're going to sell your soul for something much, much cheaper. Just a few moments of pleasure and the pursuit of something of this life. Just more pursuing of this world. But the problem is, this will be your portion. This will be all that you get. Psalm 17 says that the people of this world, this is their portion. In fact, let's read that. Psalm 17. Starting at verse 14. From men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world, whose portion is in this life. They are satisfied with children and they leave their abundance to their infants. This is all they have. This portion is all they have. And they have children, they're satisfied with their children, and they leave all they have to their children, and that's all they got. Is building an inheritance and leaving their inheritance to their children. That's all they get. Think about that. If you're going to exchange your soul for this world, just know this. That's all you're going to get. That's all you'll have. You'll get no more. You may even get the whole world, but be certain at the end of your days, it's over. There's no more to be had. There's no more to get after this life. There's no more enjoyments. There's no more pleasures. There's no more satisfaction. You'll have all the longings, all the cravings, and all the desires that you have now. They may even be more intensified. You want these things. You still will love to have these things, but you're not going to enjoy them for the rest of eternity. And there's no end to the anguish. The rich man went to hell. And it says of him that he endured the anguish of pains. He was in pain. He was in anguish. And that was his eternal lot, his eternal portion. And listen, and this is the thing that we have to see about getting what you want in this life. It's hopeless for the life to come. There's no more hope. Think about that. What if you did get everything you wanted? How pitiful would that be? How pitiful, how hopeless would that be? I'm glad that the God doesn't promise us in this life health, wealth, and prosperity. Some of us enjoy that, and that's fine. In fact, I feel like I have one of the best earthly lives ever. I actually feel like God's blessed me with salvation and a good earthly life. I really do. But I know this, God's not promised me tomorrow. I was laying in bed the other day, I had this headache, and I had this wild imagination. I had this brain tumor growing in my head. And I'm like, what if this is it for me? And I'd like to go quick, but I was thinking about having a brain tumor suffering for 30 years without being able to see or read or preach. Just in agony. Just daydreaming about what that would be like. And there's nothing in scriptures that says that can't happen to me. Nothing. Things could go bad for us tomorrow. All of us, any of us. It's by the grace of God that we have what we have now. God hasn't promised us hope in this life. But I'm glad that our hope is not in this life. If this is all we had to be hopeful for, if this life is all that He promised us to, and He did promise, hey, you're going to have a great, long, prosperous, wonderful life. That's what I'm going to give you. I would be in despair. That's it? A few moments of pleasure, then it's gone. It's over. But let's look at our text. Let's look at the hope that we have. Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now, this is a good translation. Some may want to translate this, for we're saved by hope. It's not saved by hope. We're saved by faith. This is translated correctly when it says we're saved in hope, or it could be translated we're saved to hope. Our salvation gives us hope. What hope? Well, remember last week? The hope of being the sons of God. The hope of a glorified body. The hope of new heavens and a new earth. The hope of glory to come. The hope of the return of Christ. The hope of something after this life. That we've been given hope, and our hope is not contingent or based or fixed in this world or in this life. Our hope is in the life to come. And why that makes it real hope? Because that hope is enduring forever, everlasting. It never ends. Now that's real hope. Anything short of that is no hope at all. It's despair. But we've been saved to hope. You know, hope is the key to endurance and patience. It's what gets us through this life. We've been saved unto hope, and what a hope we have. This is hope is not talking about wishful thinking. I hope I go to heaven. I hope this happens. No, this is a hope of a certainty. It's looking at the objective reality, the object of our hope. Our hope is glory. And we've been saved unto this reality that God has promised us a future home. And Jesus, when He says, do not be worried, do not fear. I depart, I'll come back to you. But I'm going, I prepare a home for you. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. See, we have a hope. And our hope is in the age to come, in the life to come. That's where our heart is fixed upon. That's where our treasures are laid up in the age to come. And thus, we see we have hope. But option two is not just gives us hope, but option two causes us to have patience. to wait. We see that in verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he does, for what he sees? The very nature of hope is something, is a promise, a future reality that you yet haven't received or enjoyed. I had a friend that preached a sermon once, and he's trying to explain what this verse meant by saying, when I was engaged, I had hope. I had all this hope to be married. I wasn't married yet, but there was this reality, I'm going to get married. It gave me hope. It allowed me to have the perseverance I needed to get through the difficult days of singleness. You know, I had this hope. But though he was right in what he said, it didn't come out very right, very good when he says, but when I got married, I was hopeless. But that is explaining the nature of hope. You don't have hope if you have it, possession of it. But if you don't have possession of it, you have a promise of it. It's a future thing. You have hope. You got hope. And that hope gets you through the difficult days. The hope that things are going to get better allows you to have the endurance, the motivation, the patience. It's what allows you to wait. In fact, this is what verse 25 says. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with it with patience. Because we have this hope, we can wait. No. I don't need that candy bar. I'm getting five tomorrow. I'm fine. I'm good. I can wait. You know, I can wait. I can go through this sickness. I can go through this transition period. I can go through this trial. I can go through these difficult days. I can go through the things that God has laid upon me because I got hope. And I don't have this make-believe hope. Do you realize there was a study that surveyed, it asked people if they thought that they had a better future tomorrow than they did yesterday, like that the next 5 years would be better than the last 5 years. And overwhelmingly, people says, yes, I believe things are looking hopeful, optimistic. That most people are optimistic by nature. But when I read that study, I can't help but think, well, probably what was will probably average out to be what will be. And people are just wanting to be optimistic about tomorrow because it makes them feel better for today. Because without that hope, you lead into despair. It's unmotivating. We need hope. We have to have hope to make it through. But this hope is not make-believe. It's not false optimism. There is a real promise. And most of the promises of God, even though we have the down payment, we have the Holy Spirit, we've got some of what God is going to give us. We've got a taste of it. But you have to realize 99.9% of what God has promised you, you have not yet received. That salvation has saved you to something far greater that you can even imagine or begin to think about. That our hope is not in this life. And it's not intended to be in this life. It's intended to be in the life to come. And we have to keep our eyes and our minds and hearts on the prize, on the life to come, on the hope, on the inheritance that we have been promised. And if we can have patience. Now, remember Abraham. Abraham was called out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and he was given a promise. And he left everything, just like you. You've left everything. You left your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your treasures, your home, your house, everything. Abraham left everything. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to forsake this life. You've got to forsake this world, and you're going to have to leave it. Leave it behind. Forsake everything. You can't hang on to one thing. Abraham left everything, did he not? And he was given a promise. And he goes out looking for this promise. And did he receive it the next day? Did he receive it after a week of wandering? He lived like a pilgrim, as a stranger. He dwelt in tents. I mean, he left his home and he began to be a person who just wandered the world around. And lived as a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. And did he receive the inheritance after 10 years of wandering? After 20 years? How about 50 years? No, he went his whole life searching, looking, with great patience, waiting, not giving up. And he died. We read it this morning. Greg read it to us in Hebrews 11. He died without receiving it. His whole life was wandering, looking for this inheritance. But it says that he knew that what he was promised was not an earthly city, but a heavenly city. A city that builder and maker was God. And therefore, he knew he wasn't even to receive. It wasn't this life, this portion that he was looking for. He was looking for the portion in the next life. And it says, therefore, God was not ashamed to call them his children. And that's what we're called to do. We have called to a hope. To forsake this world and everything in this world. And wait on something better. To give up temporary pleasures for something far greater, far more enduring, far more lasting. Let me close by some exhortations to you and myself. This verse is saying that hope leads to us being patiently. And what we're waiting on is things that we cannot see. We have something we're looking for that's invisible. And the Bible says the things that are not seen are more eternal, more lasting than things that are seen. And if that is true, then what are you living for? Some of you are praying for God to deliver you from a sickness, and you should continue to pray for that. And we'll join you for praying that God deliver you from your sickness. But this is not your hope to get better. Don't make it your hope just to get better. You're going to die. We're all going to die. Get through the sickness not with some notion that God has promised you to get through it or to heal you. Get through it to know that God has given you a greater promise. And these light, momentary afflictions will feel like nothing when you get to glory. Maybe you're not going through a sickness, but maybe you're going through some hard transition and you just don't know what to do right now. You're just stuck in between, just kind of not knowing what tomorrow's going to hold for you. Things could get better. Things could get worse. But what will you do if things get worse? Will you lose hope? Will you go into despair? You don't have to. You don't have to give up and go, life is difficult and hard and I can't bear it. Because your hope is not in this life. And what a sad thing it would be if that's all you had hope for. Let me encourage you and myself. Let me encourage us all to think about how we can lay up our treasures in heaven. If we really had hope, the stronger our hope we had, the more patience we would have and the more endurance we could have and the less that we could do without in this life. I've been thinking about this, and I'll just say this is things I'm thinking about, and you can take it and throw it away or trash it. Or you know, there are certain things I thought I'd like to save up and buy. They're on my bucket list of buying. Most of you know that it's a red Jeep. And none of you are helping me in my funding of this. But I thought to myself, what if after saving up for this, and once I had the money, I took that money and not got me a Jeep, but spent it on something else that had eternal value? Why don't I do something like that? Because one day that Jeep's going to be in the ground, and I'm not going to enjoy that Jeep forever. But think about that. That if I can give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, that good work follows me into heaven. It goes with me, and that good work has an eternal value. A cup of cold water can, the investment is, you can't compare the investment. One cup of cold water can lead into an eternal worth of weight of glory. Do we believe that? And the reason we don't believe it is because we're impatient. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to wait for the glory to come because we see the glory that is now. We see the excitement and the shine and the prestige of things now. And we kind of want it now. But we need patience because we need hope. We need hope that gives us patience. It'll help us to lay up our treasures in heaven and make good investments that have an eternal value to them. Why don't we all seek to do that more? He said, well, I don't have a lot of hope, a lot of faith. Let's start with $10. You know, I've talked to investors and they said the hardest thing is starting. It's just getting started. It's hard to invest because I have to do without now. I have to live without now. That's a hard thing. That's been hard for me to invest because it means sacrificing now. And, you know, and I need that money now. And it's just hard to get started. Well, let's do what we can. And all of us could do more. A little more. And said, Jeff, what are you saying? You're pressuring me. You're making me feel guilty. What are you doing this for? I promise you, if I will heed my own counsel, and if you'll heed my counsel, one day you'll thank God. You'll say, thank you, Jeff. Pastor Jeff, for encouraging me to invest. Thank you for thinking about the eternal value, the eternal weight of glory. I know we will not regret it. But let me end with one last appeal. To you who don't know the Lord, what does it profit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? What hope do you have in the life to come? Do you see every moment that you prolong bowing the knee and forsaking everything? And if you're going to come to the Lord, you do have to give up the world. You're going to have to forsake it all. Take my life. Just take it. Take everything I have. And you don't know if He's going to give it back to you or not. That's the thing. You don't know. Most of us, He gives us back more than what we deserve. I mean, most of us are not broke. Most of us have wives and husbands and children. Most of us have a wonderful life in this life. But we don't know. We don't know what He's going to do. But you have to surrender it to the Lord and say, you decide about my health. You decide about my wealth. You decide about my portion in this life. I give my life, this portion, to you so I can wait on the portion to come. I give it to you. And if you'll do that, you'll gain eternal life. You'll gain Christ Himself, the forgiveness of sins. You'll gain eternal bliss. You'll have hope that will never fade away, enduring or otherwise. Dear sinner, You've got what you got, and that's it. And God may even give you more in this life. That's all you'll have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.